Hey, it's Mackenzie.
And this is Shaylin.
And this is a Mill Spouse Brief. So, how was your week, Shay?
It's been good. We're just packing. So, like I've mentioned, we have been in the process of selling our house, and we sold our house. So, we close on Monday.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting.
Yep. And then we move Saturday. So, we are, like, staying in the house rent-free, basically. It's, like, written in the contract. So, technically, when you close, in any other situation, you have to move out the day you close. Like, or the day before, because they technically get the keys the
day you close. But you told them you couldn't get that house but to another house.
So, in our contract, we agreed on 2 weeks of free rent, basically.
Oh, nice.
But we're moving sooner than the 2 weeks, but I left the 1 week buffer for any cleaning or anything we needed to do before they moved in. So, we're moving to Santa. I get the keys for our new house on Friday. I'm really excited. Because they haven't let us walk through because of COVID. And I say that with quotes because I know other people who have walked through their house during a pandemic. And they're just being lazy, I think. Yeah. But I couldn't get them to budge. Like, they would not. I was like, no, but I promised other people have done it. Other neighborhoods in Lincoln. Yeah. And she's like, sorry, the government won't let us. So, there's something I can do at that point, right?
Yeah.
So, my friend did go creep on the house, though. And really? She took a video from in the window. Like, she's in the window in the front. And she videoed the inside. And the kitchen gets amazing light in the afternoon. Like, oh my god. And it definitely looks, you know, it's obviously bigger than what we have. So, I'm really excited. I hate moving, but we have movers. So, they're moving us Saturday, and then I ordered my washer and dryer that I'm really excited about.
Is it the one that's still backordered, or did you choose
We got the washer, but then the dryer, I just bought, like, a super cheap, like...
Did you have the $50 one on Facebook?
Yeah, so, and I paid a little more for him to deliver it to us, so he put it in our garage. And so, we'll have that washer, and then the dryer in like a month or so.
Yeah.
But it's been good. And tonight we have some family pictures, so I'm excited.
I'm so excited to see those. They're gonna be so cute.
Yes. How was your week?
It was good. I was in Florida all week, babysitting kind of for two families, and they were on spring break and they were like, hey, will you come out and help watch the kids? And I was like, yeah.
Heck yeah.
So I flew out there and I was with them and that was really fun. We were in So I flew into Panama City, but we were in like 30A, like seaside area, which is really nice and really pretty. I'm just not used to going, and like, it technically wasn't a vacation, but it was still a vacation, where it's so busy and crowded. And I was like, and so it was almost like a little bit more stressful because like everything is like, even like the area that we went, it's, I don't know what the right word is, but like, a company owns it. So, to get on the beach, you have to buy, like, rent their beach chairs and their umbrellas to, like, get on parts of the beach. Because it's all owned.
Gotcha.
By, like, a company.
Interesting.
So, like, it was just very, like, it's very different than how I'm used to going to, like, a beach for vacation. Which is fine. It's nice to, like, experience different things. But it's almost, like, a little bit more stressful because it's so crowded. And it's so much more expensive. And just things like that. So, I was like, this is interesting that, like, this is another way to vacation. It was very nice weather. It was super fun. Overall, like, really great. I do have a funny story about coming home. So.
Oh, my gosh.
So, long story short, I am your typical type A, very friendly, very outgoing. I can make friends with anybody. So on my second flight home, so I flew from Panama City to Dallas and then Dallas to San Diego. So my Dallas flight, like, it's going to be full, and I hate a full flight. There's nothing I hate more than having someone sit next to me. Like, absolutely hate it. But I've learned that a lot of times when there's a full flight, a lot of, like, the best memories or people I've met are, like, on those flights, you know? So this guy sits next to me. And I'm like, I don't really know if I'm in the mood to talk. And he goes, how long is the flight going to be? And I was like, oh, 3 hours. And he's like, oh, that sucks. And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, well, are you going to San Diego? And he's like, oh, yeah, I am. I live in Carlsbad. And I was like, oh, cool. I live in Oceanside. So obviously that starts the conversation. And I would say we talk for like 30, 40 minutes. And like, we'll like talk for a little bit. And then we'll kind of like stop and do something else. And it will like pick back up and things like that. And so he's like, oh, do you have a ride back up? Because it's about a 45-minute drive. And I was like, oh, I mean, like, I don't know yet. Like, I'm just waiting to hear if my husband gets off work in time. And he's like, okay, well, my company is paying for my Uber. So if you want to join on, go ahead. And so I was like, well, it doesn't seem like that bad. And Cade's like, that's usually sketchy. And I was like, Cade, like, he's our age. Like, I know a ton about him. Like, we literally talked almost the whole flight. And he's like, and I feel like because I travel so much, my radar of, like, if I'm in a sketchy situation, is so high.
Yeah.
Like, I know exactly when something is out of place. I know exactly, like, I have...
When something's wrong, you know it.
But I also know when, like, I don't feel like something is bad, you know? And so, as the flight keeps going on, and so I just tell him, I'll let him know. I was like, oh, I just have to see. And he's like, okay, like, no pressure, like, whatever, you know? So, the flight, like, we land, and Cade's like, there's no way I'm getting home. Like, and then he still has to drive the 45 minutes to me. And so, I was like, okay, well, I can just wait in the USO. I was like, or I can go back with Lucas, which is the kid's name. And Cade's like, I don't know about it, babe. And I was like, babe, I genuinely feel okay with it. And he's like, okay, we'll take a picture of him so I know what he looks like in case you get kidnapped. And I was like, okay, sounds good. So, we wait for it, and we pull it up. And so, funny, because we're in this Uber, and I'm pretty sure the Uber driver's like...
Thinking you're together.
Yeah. And then, like, in the car, we're, like, learning about each other. So, the Uber driver's probably like, what is going on, you know? So, ends up being fine. We drop him off at his, like, stop. And then the Uber driver takes me to my stop. Not a big deal. Was easy. Kind of things like that. So, I think it's really funny. And I will say that, like, it's not something that I do a lot. It's not something that's, like, a habit. It was one of those, like... Oh, this is, like, fun and crazy. And Cade's like, you do that before you get married. You can't be like that now. And I was like, oh, okay. And I will say, so I call my parents. My parents were like, oh, my gosh, what did you do? Like, we're going to start having to plan your funeral if you keep making decisions like this, you know?
They're, like, really upset.
Yeah.
Well, the crime junkie in me, I don't know if any of you listeners listen to true crime.
Yeah.
But crime junkie, their whole motto is be weird, be rude, and stay alive. Because of these types of situations. I know.
So... And so my parents were like, oh my gosh. And I was like, it's fine. But I will say that my dad did text me and he did bring up a very good point. And he said, if I was a kidnapper, or if I wanted you type of thing, he goes, I would have had my partner pose as an Uber driver.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but that's not how Uber works. Like, you don't pick who picks you up and things like that. But then the more I kind of thought about it, I was like, well, if, and we had a very interesting situation because we like added a stop like midway. Like I was just going to call another Uber once he got dropped off. And the Uber driver was like, you can just add a stop and I'll just take you the next way. And I was like, okay. Mm. So in reality, we ended up being fine. But, and I was like, well, Uber's not like that. But if someone really wanted to try hard enough, they could have created a fake thing. They could have just said, we can't add a stop. You know, like, it could have gotten sketchy. He called Uber, so, like, I couldn't see it until he added me on and split the ride with me.
That's I think, my thing is, like, good thing you did see. You know, like, you saw that it was an Uber, but he could have just pretended on his phone to be like, oh, yeah, I just ordered the Uber, when really he just texted his friend, and they have a sticker in their car.
Like, exactly.
An Uber sticker is easy to get a hold of.
Exactly. So, it was one of my things where I was like, okay, well, it's one of those one and done.
You understand why all of us are freaking out at
you? Yeah, I understand why everybody was like, what did you just do? But it kind of made for an interesting story. But it was one of those things where I was like, it just kind of goes to show that, like, how naive I feel like you can be in this world, because it's like, until you really sit down and be like, if you really want to be evil, it's not that hard to do that, which is like really hard to, you know,
wrap your brain around.
Exactly. But it was nice to be back. And then Cade actually had Friday off, so we went to a bunch of grocery stores and restocked the house, and our friends had a housewarming party that we went to, so that was really fun. So overall, it was a good week, but I'm excited for next week to get back and do all the things I need to do since I've been gone for so long.
I think that's what I hate most about being gone, is the things you have to do to catch up.
Yeah, so everything always piles up. So this episode is absolutely amazing.
We are so excited for you guys to listen to it.
Jade and Spencer are phenomenal. Like, it was hands down, like, they are, it was everything. We literally
loved talking to them and getting to know them.
We learned so much. They were so informational, so kind, funny. And they love Marines, you know, so.
Just like us.
But it was really great. So I hope you guys learned just as much as we did. Let us know what your thoughts are. And we will talk to you guys next Friday. Okay, so we have Jade and Spencer here with us. So do you guys want to start by introducing yourselves?
Yep. Hi, everyone. This is Spencer. I'm from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I've been in the Navy. I'm a Navy corpsman. I've been in for about 11 years in 17 days. I'm with 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines.
And I'm Jade, and I was born in Pipestone, Minnesota, and I've been in how long? 5 years. In September, over 5 years. And I'm currently with 211.
Okay.
Okay.
I was prior to 4. So.
Nice. And what made you guys want to join the Navy?
So I actually was like in the like Marine Corps debt program for a while. I was going to do the buddy program to do 03. And he ended up getting his girlfriend at the time pregnant. So he dropped out. And they asked me like what I wanted to do. Rod was my like debt guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I'd like to do medical if I can't do this buddy program. And he was like, well, you can't do that here. So he directed me to the Navy, went and hooked up with them. And they were like, yeah, you'll go Navy and then you can go FMF and you can be with the Marines. And that's what I want to do. So there we go.
And I mean, I was from the Midwest and there was just nothing going on.
Yeah.
I was working like full time at Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
And I was just
Barnes & Noble?
Yeah. I didn't really think I wanted to go to college, but I was like, okay, I can't just sit and work at Barnes & Noble forever. And then I think I had like a bad day at work and I was like, you know what? I'm going to the going to the recruiter. And I like walked in and it was the Navy recruiting because that was the only branch I wanted to be in.
Okay.
And they're like, yeah, no problem. We can get you
it's
in
like
a couple
super
months.
Easy.
They were like so happy.
And at first I enlisted, like when I swore in, I was undesignated.
Okay.
But I knew I wanted to be a corpsman, but it just wasn't open at the time. So about 2 weeks after I enlisted, they called me up and they're like, hey, a corpsman slot open. So
oh,
I got
that's
to
exciting.
Like switch my, had to extend like a year and then switch my numbers.
That's nice. And how was boot camp experience for both of you guys?
Is it in Chicago for everybody, Navy?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. So they used to have like multiple sites, like one in San Diego, one down in Florida, and then the one in Chicago, but they've closed the other two. I went in 2010, so it still wasn't completely like softened as I would say it is now. But even then, like back in 2010, like it's a joke.
Yeah.
So like in 2010, like I felt like I got more out of shape going to boot camp than like being back home and like being able to work out on my own.
Yeah.
Just because like I feel like the workouts were tailored to the general population and mm-hmm. and majority of the people weren't ready to be physically fit. Mm-hmm.
Especially if you wanted to be a Marine.
Right.
The boot camp for that compared to
yeah.
Navy
so they had
different.
A lot to work on, but like we have different schools like the FMTB courses mm-hmm. and all those kind of things that kind of help us like get into like physical readiness for Marine Corps. But
I thought it was pretty boot camp was pretty easy, but I was kind of like really chunky when I joined because I worked at Barnes & Noble, and then everyone, all of my friends and family, wanted to like take me out to dinner before we left. So like,
yeah.
I went to boot camp and I was like. Run how far? But the instructor or what were they, RDCs there? Yeah. They weren't like, I thought they were going to be a lot scarier, but they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty lax when I went compared to when he went. I went in 2016, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. And so how did you guys meet?
We met at Pensacola.
Okay.
So I was previously married and was her boss at the time, right?
Yeah, oh,
that's
boy.
Great. Yeah,
scandal.
Yeah. Before anything starts, we didn't do anything wrong. Right? So got divorced there, was in a kind of difficult time, but I had noticed her from the beginning for her, like, work ethic. You know, like, she came in and she was, like, one of my good workers, didn't have to really worry about her, all that kind of stuff. And so after my first wife and I kind of divorced and all that stuff happened, started hanging out with people more because before that, like, we wouldn't really go out. I didn't
mm-hmm.
invite people over. I wasn't very social.
Mm-hmm.
So started hanging out with some guys from the clinic, and they were friends with her friend group, and then we all started hanging out together, and then it kind of just kicked off after that. But yeah, that's how we Pensacola.
Cute. Yeah. So how long have you guys been married?
February is 2 years.
Oh, that's awesome. So you guys talked about that you're with different Marine commands. How does that affect your day-to-day life and schedule?
I think at first, when we first got here, like right when we got married, I had to go to a training the day after we got married, I left.
Oh.
And I went to, it was a trauma training in Jacksonville, Florida. And then by the time I got back to Pensacola, he had left to come to California. And then I had to go to North Carolina to field med.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like a lot of moving parts for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got here, I was like, okay, we're together. It's going to be great. And then our deployments were kind of around the same time.
Okay.
So I was with 2-4, he was with 2-5. We did share the same BAS, but like it almost felt like our schedules were, I would go to the field and I would come back and then he would go.
So does the Navy obviously recognizes that you guys are married, but mm-hmm. they don't really care with your schedules if they align?
No, so generally they do, and it's something okay. that's like called co-location, and like every dual like military should know about it, and usually it's so the military understands that you're married, they're going to move that unit together.
Okay. And generally, so they do care.
They do. Okay. Yeah, so we actually picked orders before we had like finalized our marriage. So like both of us had picked 1st Marine Division orders, and then we got selected and then we got married afterwards. So that's where the like rare case that you would ever see both members deploying at the same time. Generally, like there's a sea and shore rotation for the Navy, especially for corpsmen. So we'll go to a deployable unit that's operational for like 3 years, and then we'll go back to like a hospital or clinic or training command for 3 years.
Okay.
So generally you would see that, like I would be sea and she would be shore, and then the next orders that we pick, we would flip, right?
Okay.
And she would deploy and I would be at a home port station. So,
yeah.
And yeah, she's right. Like at the beginning, like we were both in the middle of workups, and it was just like, someone's gone. And you know, thankfully our deployment was in the same time frame, because if not, like it would have been I deployed and then came back and then she had left and then I would have gone again. You know, so like we got lucky there and now we've moved to different places. But yeah, definitely at the beginning it was difficult. Days that we're home, the work schedule is the same. You know, like we go to work around the same time, we come home around the same time. But if we're doing like operational commitments, exercises, anything like that, we're never seeing each other. So that's the difficult part of having like dual military, especially like dual operational military. Yeah.
And we had filled out the co-location paperwork when I was in Field 9, and they were like, when you get to Camp Pendleton, you'll be fine to like transfer to the hospital. But it just didn't work out like that. I think the paperwork got lost, and like my command was sat me down and was like, well, can you handle it? And at first I was like, no, I can't no, I just want to go to the hospital. But then I think it really worked out well for us, like both. I learned a lot. I mean, at first I was really emotional and cried all the time, but then I just like felt like one day I woke up and I was like, okay, this isn't that bad.
Yeah, it definitely challenged us and allowed us to like kind of grow up and
And come closer too.
Yeah.
When you guys are going through hard times, it usually, if it's a good bond, you know, it brings you closer together, and that's awesome.
Yeah, and that, I think that's like the biggest was like having support for each other, and it made us able to like kind of stand alone when we were by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we got back, like appreciated the time we had together. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you said you guys are with Marine Divisions. What is your like day-to-day schedule like?
So
or is it different, like the Marine Corps? Like, or every single day is different.
It is a little bit. Well, so when I was with 2-4, I was with HNS, and then I got moved to Weapons Company, so I was with the Mortarmen, and it was pretty, like, if we weren't going to the field or had, like, operations coming up, like, it was pretty, like, coming to work, you PT, and then see if they have anything for you to do.
So do you just, like, kind of wait, so, like, for, like, all I know about is, like, Kate will say, oh, I went and saw the doc. That's what he calls you guys.
Yeah.
And so, like, is that where you guys just go to work and you hang out in that area and you just make sure no Marines need to come see you? Or are you guys doing specific things like, oh, I have these tests to do and I have to, like, do the blood workups on these guys and stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely I feel like the grunt unit versus the Arty unit that I'm in now, I did everything with my Marines, so I would do all, like, the sit call. So we would run the sit call in the morning. And
what is that? Sorry.
So like, if they have,
it's like regular, like just patient encounters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like she would be at the clinic and then the guys would come in and see her. It's called sick call.
Okay.
And then once sick call was over, like we were responsible to like check in with our company gunny and stuff like that. And then, but in RD though, we do sick call, but then like we're always at the BAS now. Like I don't really like intermingle with the Marines there as much.
Okay.
So there's a little bit more, like your own time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I'm a little higher ranking, have a different kind of billet. So she was with the line companies and like doing the actual stuff. I'm more of like the administrative role now.
Okay.
So most of my day is spent sitting in an office doing paperwork.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I ride a desk all day. I'm an H&S company in 2-5.
What is H&S?
Headquarters and services company for the rest of the battalion. So like there's multiple line companies. Yeah. We're only there to support. So we have all the S shops, like administrative guys, log guys, operations, intel. So we support the line companies. And I have like 47 corpsmen underneath me. Okay. Just make sure like all their stuff is good, day-to-day planning everything's happening. Mm-hmm. I pretty much just sit at desk. I try to get out with the Marines as much as I can just because I enjoy that camaraderie and brotherhood. Yeah. There's a special bond between like corpsman and Marine. Mm-hmm. Most of my day is just typing.
Okay, so tell us about the bond with like being a corpsman with Marines. Like, what are your thoughts about Marines? Like, what are your interactions with them? That kind of thing.
You can go first.
And you can talk all the crap you want about Marines. You don't take first, I promise.
But it depends, too, on, like, what rank comes in. And
yeah, I definitely think it depends on where you are. And then, as a female with grunts, I was, like, a little bit nervous because you just hear a bunch of, like...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stories. Like, oh, they're going to just look at you this way or say things to you. And I didn't really have that in 2-4.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was really fortunate. And then when I got moved to weapons company and I had, like, the mortarmen, it was, like, probably the best experience of my life. Like, anytime, like, someone would give me crap, and even if they were joking, a mortarman would come and, like, defend me. Like,
they always
had my back. And they were always, like, rooting me on. For when I first got there, I was an E3. Mm-hmm. And they were like, how are you an E3? Blah, blah, blah. Like, just... you need to pick up rank, and they were always rooting for me to pick up rank. They were always rooting for me to get my FMF pin.
Oh, so, that's so awesome.
Yeah, I was really fortunate. I do miss that a lot, like, when I did transfer to 211. I don't really get to see Marines as much like that, so the bond isn't there, but, yeah, they really take care of their corpsmen.
So. That's cool.
So this is my second tour with the Marines. The first time I was in Lejeune.
Okay.
Completely different world. Lejeune, really? Marines and California Marines. Completely different world.
Can you talk about what that is?
Yes. So, like, the Lejeune Marines are, like, I don't want to, like, offend people, but, like, they're squared away. Like, before, like, everyone starts making fun of, like, them for losing rifles. It happened. It happens everywhere. Let's get over it.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
But, like, over there, you can't walk on the grass, you know? Like, you can't do certain things. Like, and it's, like, little minute things.
So it's very strict.
That's how I expected mostly, it to be here.
I think mostly because of the area. Here, you have different camps, and they're kind of all spread out. The farther away you get away from the main flagpole, you know, the less eyes are there. But yeah. Lejeune, everybody's in the same spot. The division headquarters building is right down the street from where all the the infantry battalions are. So there's a little bit more eyes on and micromanagement and stuff like that. So I'd say they're a little bit more strict. I have, like, out here, like, I feel like the corpsmen, at least I've met, are a little bit smarter than the 2nd Marine Division guys were. They were able to, like, free think and, like, come to things on their own easier. But
which is funny you say that, because Shay and I were talking about this a couple days ago, that one of our, like, complaints with the military, and specifically the Marine Corps, is that they teach these boys that they need the Marine Corps. They need the Marine Corps to make all their decisions, and you need to ask before you do anything. And then all of a sudden, the switch will flip, and they'll be like, oh, make all your decisions. And then
why didn't you think about that?
And the Marines are like, what do you mean? Like, I have to think on my own? And they're like, yeah, you need to think on your own. And you're like, well, you've told me how to live and what to do my entire life for the last how many months and years. Mm-hmm. And now you're telling me, like, and so it's kind of hard because it's like the Marine Corps doesn't teach the boys both, at least in our opinion, that, like, our husbands were just used to, like, being told what to do. And then all of a sudden they're like, you want me to make the decisions? Or, like, you know, things like that. Or they'll come home and be like, just do it. And he's like, well, can't you just tell me what to do? And I'm like, no, just do it on your own. And he's like, well, why can't you just tell me what you need done? And I'm like, okay.
I think that might just be a guy thing.
Because there's going to be, like,
that's true.
I think that just might be it. Because I do the same thing.
One time he was like, I was like, just do it. And he's like, I make decisions all day. I don't want to come home and make decisions. And it was like, what are you going to have for dinner?
Yeah. Right, like,
something,
like no.
Something silly. Yeah.
But I noticed you, like, Marines, you have to tell them, like, everything. Like, they'll come into sick hall or, like, they'll need, they could, something that you could take, like, ibuprofen or Tylenol for, like, at home. And I'm like, did your parents not tell you to take, like, Tylenol or ibuprofen when you were going to? Yeah. Like, oh, I have a headache. I'm like, have you been drinking water? Well, no.
Yeah. Like, that's
what?
My biggest
yeah,
thing.
So we
drink water.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's like my second time mm-hmm. with the Marines, and the first time was amazing. I was younger. I was like the rank to like be out with the boys. Mm-hmm. And like those guys, we went to Afghanistan, and like the bond that I built with those guys will never be broken by anything. And like people say like thicker than blood, and it's 1000% true. Like those guys know things about me that my brother, who's my probably my best friend in the world, Jade, like my family will never know.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just a part of like the things that we went through together.
Yeah.
And then it's a special thing to be a doc. Like I remember the first time that I got called doc by my Marines, and it was completely different feeling than just being like, oh, I'm a Navy corpsman.
Mm-hmm.
When someone calls you doc, it's a term of endearment. And you've been accepted by the group, and same thing with like getting your FMF pin.
Can you explain what
that is? Yeah, so in the Navy, we have, like, warfare devices. The Marines have them, too, so, like, jump in, like, dive wings and all those kind of things. You see them, like, recon guys.
Yeah.
We have warfare devices, and it basically means you're on the platform. So, like, we have to study Marine Corps history, weapon systems, all kinds of, like, information. And then we do tests and oral boards for it, and it's just one of the qualifications we can get with the Marines.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, like, once you get that, and you do, like, your workup and all that stuff, like, you build this bond with your Marines that... Marines to Marines don't have the Marines to docs. It's a special bond.
I asked Cade when we were prepping for this. I was like, so we're having Navy Corpsman on? And he was like, oh, I love my docs.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
Awesome, I was like, so it was in docs office today. He's like, yeah, we're just shooting the shit.
Yeah, so they're loved or hated, because like you'll get some corpsmen that like kind of like guys will come to the BAS or whatever, and they're like, no, you're fine, leave. Or you'll have guys, you know, that do everything for their Marines. So it's a special bond. But yeah, Marines wouldn't. I prefer being greenside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and in the Navy, we say, like, greenside is Marines, mm-hmm. blue side is Navy.
Okay. Because you guys wear...
MARPATs and all that. We wear the same thing. We don't wear dress uniforms.
You guys wear, like, Marine camis. Because that's a picture you sent. And I was like, Cape! And he was like, yeah, that's what they wear. And I was like, I mean, I guess Navy. It makes sense, but,
yeah,
like...
it says Navy on our name tapes, but...
Which is probably better than, like, wearing blue and, like, sticking out as much.
Yeah, but I prefer 1,000% to be with the Marines over the Navy, just... mostly the mentality. Like, I feel like I see myself as like a type A, an alpha type.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really exist in the Navy as prominent as in the Marine Corps. In the Marine Corps, everybody thinks they are the best things since sliced bread. Like, and I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I love coming into work and people are button heads and like it's competitive and like I like that spirit. The Navy's kind of like, just do whatever you want, don't get in trouble, and we'll all be fine, so.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like that's where, I was on a ship on my deployment. We went on a ship, and that was, like, the first time I ever met, like, ship corpsmen.
Mm-hmm.
And, like you said, Marines are the way to go, because I didn't really experience, like, when everyone said, oh, going as a female with grunts, like, it's gonna be hard. And, like I said, I didn't experience that, but when I was on ship, I thought it was, like, a lot more difficult to be around sailors, because they looked at you, like, I felt like sailors were always trying to, like, what can we get out of this situation, you know?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or Marines, I never felt like that with my Marines, and they, like, always respected you.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
I was like, I don't ever want to go to a ship and stay with the Marines.
So, when you guys deployed, our husband's units, they just stopped it, but they always go on, what's the acronym?
UDP.
UDP. So do you guys go on that? Because you said you went to Afghanistan, which I know is not a UDP. So, like, what's it kind of, does it just depend on the unit you're with, or what have you guys experienced? And it's, like, two questions, sorry.
Yeah, so I was with 1-9 first.
Okay.
They're no longer, we deactivated in 2014. It was still during OEF.
Okay.
So we just went to Afghanistan and fought people. And then the second deployment that I just did with 2-5 was a SP MAGTAF. which was to Kuwait. We had guys.
Have a friend on a MAG tag.
Yeah, we had guys in like 10 or 11 different countries across the Middle East.
Okay.
And then we can deploy on the Muse, UDPs, anywhere really that there's a Marine or sailor, there's a corpsman there.
Okay.
So it are like, I don't know what to say. Our platforms that we could go on are
everything.
Infinite.
Like everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Which do you prefer to go on? Or what type of deployment do you prefer to go on?
I mean, I've only been on one deployment. And so, I mean.
Which
I
is what?
Okinawa. I went on the 31st MU.
Okay.
So I went to Okinawa. But I felt like a little sad because of COVID. So you went recently. Yeah, I went recently. I just came back in November.
Okay.
But I didn't get experience in Okinawa. Because, like, my deployment was so different than his. So we, like, worked during the day, and then we would have liberty. So I was able to, like, see Okinawa a little bit. And then we went on ship, and then came back to America, and I got to see a little bit more. Where he didn't really have the opportunity to, like, explore.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the MU. A lot of people said they don't like like the 31st MU, they call it the 31st worst.
The 31st, yeah.
Yeah, the 31st, whatever. But I thought it was fine. Like, I got to see a little bit of ship, which I knew I didn't like, but it was like, oh, this is cool because I'm a sailor.
Mm-hmm.
So being a sailor on the ship, do you stay with, like, the Marines?
Yeah. They literally have green side, blue side, like, lines.
Like, oh, on a MU.
Yeah. Wow. There's kind of a beef between, yeah.
Like green side, blue side?
Yes. Yeah. And like,
wow.
Yeah, because they don't really like us. And like,
who doesn't really like you?
Like blue side.
Okay. Yeah, just right. Because you're kind of so entrenched in the green side.
Yeah, because we act like Marines. Like, yeah.
Oh, they,
yeah. Yeah, and we think, know that we're better than them. But, yeah, so there's kind of like a beef between like real blue side Navy guys.
Yeah.
Greenside guys.
They're just jealous.
Yeah, because we've kind of betrayed the Navy way, you know? Like, gotcha. We're not seafaring sailors at that point, and they're hooking and jabbing on ships while we're, like, actually working.
Yeah.
but, yeah, so, like, there's kind of a beef, but, mm-hmm. yeah. And then, for me, I've only been on the ground on my deployments, so
okay.
I've never done a ship. That's an experience that I have yet to get. I don't think I'll enjoy it at all, but I really enjoy just like going over to a country and like being in combat zones and all that kind of stuff. Like that's my bread and butter.
I know our husbands are definitely upset that they shouldn't be upset that it's peacetime, but they're upset that it's peacetime.
Yeah.
They joined, 3 years ago.
Because they definitely were the ones to join.
And it's just unfortunate they were born a little late. Like, and like our Marines go through the same thing now. You know, like they're like, I really wanted to get out there, especially on this deployment, because they talked it up so much. We had guys in Iran and Iraq and Syria and all these other places, and they didn't have the opportunity to do things that I had the opportunity to do when I was young. And it sucks, but like being there, I would never wish anybody to ever have to do that kind of thing. So like I understand like when Marines like say like we really want to go to war, because that's what this organization is like here for, you know?
Yeah.
And then you do all this training, you don't get to go, like,
yeah,
you know, so like it kind of sucks, like practicing for the dance, but then you don't get to go to prom kind of deal, you know? So like, so I get that, but thankfully we are in peacetime right now.
Yeah.
No one has to die. Like, those are good
things.
So,
I know. That's what I tell my husband all the time.
Men are stubborn, so it's hard for us to get that across our heads.
And he says, I swear something's going to happen in the next 3 years, because he's not deployable the next 3 years.
Yeah,
I'm like,
probably. Yeah, probably will.
Okay, so with you guys being different ranks, how does your BAH work and like your housing and stuff like that?
So, we both get single until we have a child, and then the highest rank gets with dependents, right? So,
gotcha.
So, and then the price is the same that everyone else pays. Right now, I think it's like, 25 or 27 or something over there for us. It's all taken away from my check.
And then you get to keep the rest of hers.
And then hers comes in, and we hand walk the rest in. So, like, I think right now, like, I get, like, a little over 2,000 in BAH.
Mm-hmm.
Rent's 25 to 27, somewhere in that range, and we hand walk a check in.
For the rest.
Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, okay. So whatever, like, is
left.
Oh,
because you're a single, not dependent.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yes. So I think, like, together we're at, like, 38 is what the number we're at. So we do get to pocket a little bit.
That's nice.
Which is nice. But
do you guys both get COLA?
No, we don't get cola here.
What's cola?
Cost of living.
It's like your grocery. I've only ever been told it's called cola. I know it's not, but like every time I've ever talked to someone, they're like, "Oh yeah, cola," and I'm like, "Yeah, cola."
Yeah.
BAS.
Yeah. Yeah, we both get BAS. That's nice. So, yeah, so they do a really good job of like monetary like allowances and stuff like that, and like I would have expected all of it to get stripped, and I'm like, no, here's together. Yeah, but a lot of the time, like, we're not around each other, so it's nice to have that money to like kind of be able to help support each other. Yeah. So
do you feel like being dual military, you're more stable like financially than you would if like one of you was a civilian job?
I think so, just because one steady paycheck.
Like, that's true.
We never have to worry about that, right? We always know that on the 1st and 15th we're getting paid. We do get a little bit more in BAH, have the extra like BAS. So I think yes, we're a little bit financially stable. But with that there's sacrifices. So
it's definitely a give and take for sure.
Yeah.
So I guess the next question is, because so obviously with spouses we're not in the military, and so the big thing that we want to know when we have different spouses on is like, what's your home like with your service member? But since you guys are both service members, like, what's your home life like when you come home, when you guys are both doing military? Because, you know, like when we come home, we're like, okay, they had a hard day in military, but we might have had a hard day too, and like combating it. But you guys are now both going through the same thing. So, what's your home life look like? Do you talk about work? Do you not talk about work? Like, what's it look like that?
I think so. Yeah, we both come home and we're pretty like swamped during the week. Like, I feel like Monday through Friday, we like come home. What do you like to call it? Your transitioning period?
Yes, I like to have a transition period.
So basically like 2 hours after we... Because it just depends on who gets home first.
Yeah.
But lately it's been around the same, and...
Which is like kind of what time, if you'd like guesstimate?
Probably like 5.
Yeah.
I would say it would be like on average, we have like 5 o'clock. And we're like, probably for the next 2 hours, we're both like, oh, how was your day? Good, how was your day? And then we're just like picking on each other. Because we just had, like, this day of
work. Yeah.
And then we're just like, let me just see what I can do to him to, like, just get on him. But then I feel like after dinner we just go to bed. But we definitely, like, pick on each other a lot when we come home. Just because...
Yeah, we're both kind of annoying. Yeah. And that's just, it is what it is.
You're like, trying to push the other over the edge.
Yeah, like, yeah. So what
can I do?
We're both like pestering and we like doing that, you know, and it keeps things fun. Sometimes we get a little out of hand and upset one or the other.
Yeah.
But like, it's all apart because like we are annoying, you know, and that, I think it works for us because it's kind of our love language to like pick at each other. But yeah, like she said, like a lot of the day, like, we do a lot of stupid stuff, and like being with the Marines, like, you know, like we said, we do love them, but like sometimes it's really dumb.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The 100%. Things we do, or like things we hear, like, and like medical, we hear a lot of the dumb stuff from like guys just doing dumb things because they hurt themselves, and they come in and like, this guy, and like, I've got a million things to do, but now we have to like drop everything for something. So, yeah, we're exhausted. We come home. We do a decent job of like splitting up chores and stuff like that. I feel like laundry is our biggest wall to hurdle.
Just because you both don't want to do it?
It mostly just stays in the dryer, and then we're like, oh, fluff it, and then we'll lay it on the couch out like we're going to put it away, and then it sits there for 3 days. You know, so we struggle with some chores just because I feel like at the end of the day, like, we're exhausted.
Yeah.
She's a lot more prone to like sharing how her day was than I am. Like, I really don't. It just all starts blending together. She comes like, "How's your day?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm just good."
Yeah. I also think that's a boy thing.
Yeah.
Because like, 100%.
And then I feel like I'll be like, "Well, you never told me that like 2 weeks later." He's like, "Oh yeah, remember that happened?" And I'm like, "No." Yeah. And he's like, "I think I told you." And I was like, "I don't think you did."
Yeah. And then like, I try to do lately. I've been trying to do a better job. You know, like, it's not a big deal to me when she asks, but it is a big deal for me to ask her. So if you are listening to this and you need to get a tip, ask your wife how her day was.
That's a really good one.
I just had an argument with my husband yesterday about this. I was like, "You don't even know how I'm doing." And he's like, "Yes, I do." "No, you never ask how I'm doing."
And I will say, because Kate and I did have this when we first started dating. I think it was when we were engaged. And I was like, "You don't ask." And he's like, in my defense, you normally just tell me. Yeah. And I'm like, but I'm asking, like, 1,000%, I want you to ask me. And he's like, but normally you just tell me. And I'm like, well, do I always just have to tell you? Like, why can't you just ask? And he's like, because I'm just used to waiting for you to tell me. And I'm like, so, like, that, I do it's think that's, it's, like, it's one of those things that's, like, when, I feel like when you first get married, you're trying to figure out, like, okay, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that, this is how it's gonna work.
First get married. We've been married almost 4 years. we just had a fight about it.
And then I feel like they forget about it. Like, something happens.
Yeah, because it's not a big thing. It's not a big thing to us, right? But I think, like, just clear expectations, like, because she said, I want you to ask me how my day was. Okay, then now I kind of do it sarcastically, and I'll come home and be like, "How was your day?"
Oh,
like,
you know, like, great.
Yeah, which doesn't help me, but at least I'm asking. So.
And one time I heard on a podcast, I was like, "What did I say? If you don't talk about your expectations, you can't like expect them to be met." And so that's good. Just like, if you don't tell me, you can't expect me to know.
Wow, isn't that a good suggestion?
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so next question is, obviously plans change, but if you guys had to like guesstimate, what are your plans with the Navy? Do you expect to stay in for the full 20? Do you expect to not? Like, where are your thoughts with the Navy at right now?
So I really don't know right now. I just made, I just picked up again. So I got really fortunate, like a year ago I was in E3 and now I'm in E5.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, which is like really, I feel like I'm not normal in the corpsman community. Yeah. It's very quick. And so like I definitely need to pay it forward.
Yeah.
But I want to start a family and I think it'd be a lot of stress for both of us to be in as dual military, which I don't think it would be impossible. But again, a lot more sacrifices. So I'm still on the fence.
Because you picked up, how long are you in for? Are you saying you just picked up a rank and that's why you're like on the fence?
Yeah. Okay. Because I was very fortunate. Like, again, the corpsman rate, like, they don't pick up very fast usually. Like, mm-hmm. It takes a while. That's normal. And so it was like, well, because I was given this opportunity, should I stay?
Yeah. So does your, I'm blanking on the word, but like your contract, when does that expire?
June of 2022.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you have to think about it.
Yeah, I have to think about it. And then what I think my next place would be like a hospital or something. So again, like if I reenlisted one more time, like a hospital wouldn't be as demanding as here.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's like off the table for one more like enlistment, but I feel like
that's how they get you.
So with Marines, it kind of depends on your job for your enlistment. Is that the same for corpsmen, or is this a specific, like, 4, 6, 6, 6, like, when you reenlist, how many years are you saying that you'll give?
So our first contract is 5 years, just because we have extra schooling.
Yeah.
And then unlike Marines, like, now they have to stay at their first duty station, their first enlistment. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do that. We can rotate back to different places, so that's nice. But then after that, it's whatever you want. So you have the option of 2, 3, 4.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's so nice. Yeah. So you could say, okay, I'm going to stay in for 2 more years. And then once I got out, I could start having kids if I wanted to.
Yeah.
So it's not a specific, because Marines don't get to choose. If you have like a long, like not like a long job, but like a long training job, like recon, you have a 6-year contract just because you spend the first 2 years training.
Right.
And then, that depends on job too.
Yeah.
Because my friend's husband just did an extension. So he did a 2-year extension rather than like re-enlisting.
Oh, really? You can do that?
He just did a 2-year extension because he wanted to stay with 1-5 or wherever he's at. But
that's cool.
Yeah.
But normally when you
can do that too. So like Navy, we can extend up to 48 months on one contract.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay. So you can extend.
Yeah.
And then, but you can choose your re-enlistment period. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. I feel like for Marines, I've only just ever heard that you can extend, but it's always just like 4 years. Like you can never choose your years if you're re-enlisting.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm still on the fence.
And I'm over the hill here.
Yeah, you're on the downward.
I'm 86. I can technically retire at this rank.
Okay.
Nine years is nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Because you've already done what, 12?
11.
11,
yeah,
that's right.
It'll be 11 on April 20th. So like,
oh, that's so exciting.
It's flown by. Like it's been a blink. So yeah, this has been a rewarding experience. I was getting out. I've done like the TAPS class, the TRS class twice.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I hated the Navy. I didn't want anything to do with it. It took me, I was in E4 for 6 years, almost 7 years.
Geez.
So it took me a while to promote, you know. I did some things when I was young. And I thought like I deserved it more than other people because I'd been to Afghanistan, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And, you know, it was kind of like a woe is me selfish attitude. And then I was like, get over yourself, like, and started getting a lot of fire, like, lit under my ass. Oh, sorry.
You're good. No,
So yeah. And really like meeting her around the same time frame, was good too. Cause like she gave me a lot of support and that's what kind of like turned my mm-hmm. career around.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so like...
Way to go, Jade.
Yeah. So the Navy's given me plenty. And then, like, with her on the fence, definitely need to stay in, just because if we do want to... We do want to have children and lots of children, and I don't want to, like, pay for that out of pocket.
Yeah, so. No.
So, yeah, that's... Yeah. So that's the plan now is that, I mean, I have at least 7 years. I could retire in 7 years, technically. I'll probably end up doing, like, 23, 24.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Until the kids are grown, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever I need to do. I would like to retire twice and then never work again. So, yeah. Yeah, that would be.
That's true.
Because I joined when I was 19, so.
So you would, what, get out if at 38 or 39? And then you could do another 20 somewhere else.
And... Yeah. Yeah. And before I'm 60, retire twice. Yeah, like,
When Kate and I were driving to Costco yesterday, so my husband's trying to decide what he wants to do. He put in a package to see if it gets accepted for the same job that her husband's doing, but on the East Coast, because okay. we really want to go to Jacksonville.
Yes, same.
And nearly.
Yes. Us too, which, by the way, Austin was told by his gunny the other day that he'll definitely get sent to the East Coast because we would have been here for 7 years.
That's good.
Oh, when he's done so with combat instructor, we'll be here 7 years, and they're going to be like, no, get your ass out of here.
Yeah.
So
there's less to do over there, but, like, the... Town, like, I mean, when you guys say Jacksonville, you mean Camp Lejeune, right?
I want land.
It's cheaper, yeah. 1,000 times
my
cheaper.
My aunt and uncle live in Hubert, and then okay, my grandparents good. Have a house in Emerald Isle.
Okay.
And so I spent my whole summer really growing nice. Up there, and my grandparents then also live in Raleigh,
yeah.
and we have family and friends in Charlotte, and my dad and mom lived in Greenville, that's where my brother was born, because my brother or my dad went to ECU, so, like, everything about North Carolina, like, I just love.
Yeah.
So my husband's trying to kind of figure out what he wants to do. And so we were driving to Costco yesterday. And something came up about, like, mailman. I guess you can, like, be a mailman for 20 years and retire. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I was like, well, if you do the Marine Corps for 20 years, you won't have to work a day after 38. And he's like, it's really tempting. And I was like, I promise you, I will do whatever I have to do for this family. If you stay in for 20 years, I will work. And we're really different. I love to work. I love to work. And Cade's like, if I can play video games all day, that's what I'd do. And so I was like, well, if you stay in till you're 38, I promise that, like, with my career, I'll do whatever I have to do to, like, take care of the family if you stay until you're 38. He's like, it's tempting, but it's the Marine Corps.
It's demanding, physically yeah. and mentally.
So do you guys you follow, like, Navy,
physical,
yeah, or do you follow Marine Corps?
Yeah, so we do Navy. There is a way, like, so if you go, like, Marine Corps regs, you wear the Marine Corps, Bravos and Charlies, right? They don't wear Alphas or the dress uniform. But if you do that, then you have to do, like, the Navy or the Marine Corps PFT and CFT. And then on top of that, you have to do the Navy or PFA. Mm. So.
So what is the Navy PFA?
It's easy. Now it's a mile and a half run, which is a sprint, like, that's all it is. You're just sprinting a mile and a half.
What time frame do you have to keep it under?
I think, 13 minutes is around most people's, like, okay. max time. So, not terrible.
They break it up by age.
It's age. That's how it is. And then gender.
Yeah. Okay, that's how it is for the Marine Corps.
Yeah. And then push-ups, and now we do planks instead of sit-ups. So,
so how many push-ups do you have to do?
She only has to do, like, 40 to max out. 48
is my max.
Yeah.
For
push-ups.
Okay.
That's her max.
40. Oh, my God. I can't even do two.
And then, people do more than that. I'm like, why would you do that?
And then my max is, like, 95.
Push-ups?
Yeah. So it sucks. Like, yeah.
I get to, like, 25, and I'm like, oh, we're going to have to take a break.
That's better than, gosh, I just have a baby. Okay, guys? I'm like, mile and a half run under 13 minutes. I couldn't even do that under 20. Shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so push-ups and then planks, like, what, you just have to hold it for a couple minutes, or what is...
Yeah, it's, like, I think, what, 330 is max.
And is it on your elbows or hands?
It's on your elbows. And
I could do elbows.
You can't touch your hands.
Okay, so you just have to go like this.
You have to leave your hands, like, yes, one of these, like, hands flat or a hands bald.
I could do the plank thing.
Can't touch
them. I actually hate planks. I used to, like,
really?
I've been practicing them, like, every morning. So in the morning I'll run and then I'll plank just because I know I'm going to have to eventually. I think our next one's in July.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, 45 seconds and I'm like, I hate my life. Like, I'm like, am I almost done?
Yeah.
But like,
plus, we're going to do that and push-ups. So, like, just being in that, like, lean and rest position, like, your back's going to be tired, your shoulders
are
going to
be tired. Yeah, your shoulders, your neck. Like, yeah. That's my thing with planks. Sometimes I'm like, my shoulders hurt more than my abs. Like, what is with this?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So, I guess another question that we have is, what are your commands like? Because you are different ranks, but, like, do you feel like your command's very lenient? Do you feel like your command's very strict? Who do you report to in that sense? Do you report to Navy and Marines? Do you report to one of the other?
Yeah, we report to both. So, they are integrated to some extent where, like, our chief will talk to the Marine Corps leadership most times. But, like, especially for him, I feel like he is very, like, involved in his higher leadership. Mm-hmm. And when I transferred to 211, it was kind of the same thing, very involved with higher leadership just because they needed some support from the BAS. Mm-hmm. And then when I was with the line company, we, like, saw our gunny every morning and we mm-hmm. talked to them. Like, you're always reporting to your sergeant, always reporting to your gunny, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it just kind of depends on what billet you fall into. So, like,
mm-hmm. that makes sense.
With her, she did everything with the Marines, right? Like, yeah. And when I was younger, like, everything, I didn't see my Navy people at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then now that I'm, like, in H&S, I sit with Navy people all day. But, like, we're an H&S company, so we report to the H&S CO, which is a Marine. We have, like, our own internal Navy leadership, and it's an E7. Gunny equivalent is the chief. And then we have, like, our own OIC, who's are usually, like, lieutenants or lieutenant commanders in the Navy. But, yeah, for the most part, we do everything with the Marines. Yeah.
Okay. So. That's cool. And I guess to kind of close it out, what is your advice to other dual military? Because we have a couple of people that did reach out saying that they were dual military as well. So if there's somebody that's like, oh, my husband is in the military and I'm thinking about joining, or they already are dual military, like, what's your advice for them? What are things that you want civilians to know? What are things you want military people to know about dual military relationships?
I think that, again, we had a very unique situation mm-hmm. when we went to division together, and our commands, like, I don't think we could have had any, like, better opportunity. Like, at one point we were sharing the same BAS, and so, like, my chief would talk to his chief, and, like, my chief would say, like, hey, your husband's going home, like, he's about to deploy, go home. Like,
that's so nice.
So that, like, we were really fortunate with that kind of stuff, and I think that opened my eyes, because at first when I came here, and I was like, we're both gonna be, like, really, really busy, I was like, this is going to be the worst time of my life. And it actually, I feel like it turned out to be, we made a lot of sacrifices, but it was for the best. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot. And so I think, like, personally, if you can be okay with those, like, short-term sacrifices, because we'll both, like, say if I stay in, then, I mean, we can both retire, and we're very competitive, so I always want to be, I always want to try and beat him. Like,
yeah.
It was really funny because we both picked up, meritoriously got promoted, and, like, I found out, so, and then he pinned me. Aww. So for, like, a very small second, we were both second classes, and so we're just kind of competitive, but I think if you can be okay with those sacrifices, it is really worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, like, the steady paycheck we always
get.
You
don't have that, like, added stress about making ends meet.
Right. So I know a lot of, like, I have quite a few friends that are dual military, mm-hmm. and it's just not for them, especially when you bring kids involved. But I think, like, the biggest thing I've learned with 1st Marine Division is that if you can be okay with those sacrifices, then it's definitely mm-hmm. worth it. So,
yeah.
How about you, Spencer?
I would say it's not for everybody. Like, and that's to be clear. Like, it sucks, like, sometimes, you know, because. Yeah. When we come back from operations, or, like, say, like, we come back from a field or something, and everybody else gets to go see their family, and we go back, and it's like, yeah, well, my wife's still gone, mm-hmm. you know? Or so, true. Like, I got back from deployment early. Everyone was there to see their family. Their wives came in, their kids came, you know, and that was really special for them. And it was like, well, I have a hotel at the Holiday Inn Express down in Carlsbad, so I'll see you guys. If you guys need anything, just let me know. I'll be in my room by myself, you know? And so it kind of sucks. And, you know, she goes through it. Like, I left earlier. Mm-hmm. And so it's not for everybody. I would say that it has definitely made I was okay with it before, but me looking at her now, like, I can tell you today that she's stronger today than she was, like, when we first got here. Mm-hmm. Only because of, like, the sacrifices and stuff we've made. And she's really grown into, like, more being independent. And it's been nice to see that growth. Because then I know, like, if I do continue this and she gets out and I leave and she needs to stand on her own, she's learned so many lessons already that she'll be fine. Mm-hmm. The military was, it's good that we're both in because then we both understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of, like, Marines have difficulty with their relationships with their spouses because they don't know how to convey.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, the spouses don't understand what's happening. Like, we say, like, hey, we're going blah, blah, blah. And, like, you guys just hear a bunch of acronyms and, like, that's all you get, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's really easy that way. Like, we're able to communicate better mm-hmm. and understand, like, when I say I have to go in, and she's like not questioning, you know, why?
Cause she, like, we are. Yeah. Like, what do you mean you have to go in on Saturday at 2 a.m.?
Yeah. So, like, this morning, I left the house at 1:30 because our guys are going to Bridgeport, and I was like, yeah, I have to go in. I told her last night I have to go in tomorrow, and, like, there wasn't a question about it. Like, she understands.
Yeah.
So that's a really nice thing. Financially,
sorry, Kate, I'll try to be better at that.
it's mostly not the spouse's fault. Like, every situation that I've seen, like, it's the Marines. Like, and it's not because they don't care. It's because they don't, like, take into
consideration.
Yeah.
And I think, too, it depends on the how family oriented the unit is. Because I've seen, granted, I get a lot of my information from the Facebook pages, but I've seen that some units are very family oriented and they're not like that. Whereas others, like our husband's 511 Romeo battery, like 100% not family oriented, do not give a crap about family. But at the same time, his closer ranks, like sergeants and staff sergeants, do.
Yeah.
So they'll try and do what they can to, like, yes, you know, you can go home or you can go do this appointment. Whereas mm-hmm. like the higher ups are like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I learned this from Cade yesterday, that the higher ups in their unit specifically, that the officer ranks, and then even, like, I guess in the Marine Corps, and I'm going to totally butcher this, but, like, master sergeant, and then there's whatever the equivalent to that is. I'm just blanking on what it is. But, like, every higher up in our husband's unit has a different, like, thing of that they take priority over. Right. So, like, one prioritizes the field, one prioritizes, like, Marine net courses. Like, everyone that's, like, making decisions in their unit has a different thing of what they put first, and they all clash.
Yeah.
And so, like, we'll get frustrated because I'll be like, you had a uniform inspection last week. Like, I literally took it in and it got pressed, and, like, what do you mean you have another one? And, like, he's running around the house trying to find it again, and he's like, well, we have another one. And then, like, he'll be like, oh, we have the field. Oh, wait, no, we don't have the field. Oh, this got changed. Oh, this got changed. Like, and it runs around a lot. And so, obviously, we've only been married for less than a year. But, like, and he just got home in November. And so, we're, like, very new to, like, living together in Marine and all that kind of stuff. But it's so hard because then I feel like sometimes I'm like, okay, this is the schedule. Like, he'll be like, I have this and I have this. And it's funny because
you have such a hard time with the schedule.
I do. I have a really hard time with the schedule because, like, for example, he was supposed to go to the field the 12th through the 16th. And so, like, I travel for my job. And so my dad's my boss. And so he was like, hey, you have a trip coming up. When, like, what works for you? And I was like, oh, do the 12th through the 16th. Kate will be gone. I can go be gone. Like, totally good. And then he comes home yesterday and he's like, oh, I'm not going to the field. I have something else to do. And I was like, oh, well, I think I'm going to be in Montana. And he's like, oh, that stinks. And I was like, sorry, like, you told me that you're going to feel, you know? And so I think sometimes it's, like, hard as a wife's perspective that it's like, oh, in my mind, my work sometimes changes, but it's still way more set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's our hard thing is you think military, it's going to be set. There's not going to be changes so mm-hmm. much.
Mm-hmm. And I'm past that point. Especially we're going into year 5. I'm past that point.
Especially with when I went to art. Party, like, they are always in the field and they're always, like, moving around.
That's true.
And it's so there was always just moving parts, and I think, like, the difference between that and the grunts, like, the grunts always do everything together mm-hmm. and, like, it doesn't really change, like, up until the day before. I was supposed to go to Yuma for a field op, and uh-huh. like the day before they're like, hey, you're not going. So it was like I was supposed to go to Yuma for 3 weeks mm-hmm. and then, like, the day before they're like, oh yeah, you're not
what
going.
Do I do for the next 3 weeks?
Yeah.
And so, like, but, like, where the grunts got those guys, like, they're like, you guys are going, like,
there's nothing changing.
No change, okay?
And for our listeners who are civilians, what are grunts? or who are cunts.
Yeah, so they're the infantrymen.
Yeah.
And so that's
boots
like...
Boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground. And then another in acronym that's used is... Is it Pogue?
Pogue. And that's we weren't going to bring it up. We didn't want to get bad reviews.
And then and that means person other than grunt. So, yes. Like, anybody that's not boots on ground, grunts will call them Pogues because they're like, hey, we're boots on ground and you're not. You sit at a desk and we go and fight.
Yeah.
So, we try to help because we have a lot of civilian listeners. And so we get a lot of text messages like, what was that acronym? And what was that? So that's why we try to, like... And then you guys are saying Navy ones, and I was like, can you explain that, please? this was so awesome. I feel like I've learned so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just definitely want everyone to know that, like, I think mental health is really important for dual military, at least. Because, like, I got really lucky because he was, like, my anchor. Because I was very, like, hot or cold. And I think, like, going back to, like, how... Could you see yourself staying in as dual military? Like, at first I couldn't because I was, like, literally crying all the time. Like, it was just so hard for me, the change was. And then one day we just woke up and it was like, you can do this.
Yeah.
But all that stuff happened. Like, I was, like, I didn't even know I had depression. They're like, I think you might have depression. Like,
yeah.
I knew I had anxiety, but, like, those things were, like, a really big part of this, process, mm-hmm. I feel like. And so just being very aware of your mental health.
Did you feel like the military helped support you to, like, get help with that and, like, support that, like, hey, you're like, hey, I have this and I'm going through this and, like, I need support, I need help, I need counseling, I need whatever you needed. Did you feel like they listened to how you felt? Because I think that's another big misconception about how the military handles mental health.
Mm-hmm. So I know, like, in the corporate community, like, my leadership, they were so supportive. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, kind of embarrassed. Like, I was just, like... I think we were in ITX and I was just literally waking up and I was crying. Like, I was just going, mm-hmm. I don't even know how to explain it.
Yeah.
And I asked for help and I was scared, but they were like, that makes you, and this really, like, hit me. They were like, asking for help, like, shows you how strong you are because you know, like, this is your breaking point. Like, you're able to recognize that. So my leadership was very, very supportive.
That's awesome.
And they were like, whatever we need to do, we'll help you. But, like, I was, like, I knew whatever I was going through, it didn't matter where I was. I just had to get through it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they were very supportive. And I know, like, the corpsmen, they do, like, at least all the corpsmen I've met on Greenside so far, they take mental health really serious.
That's
awesome. Yeah, I think the biggest thing for, like, the mental health is, like, just say something.
Yeah.
Like, someone will listen. And, like, if you have a bad corpsman... It happens. Go to someone else. Like,
continue to try and, like, don't stop asking for help. Don't stop because one person told you no.
Yeah. And we're definitely, I think we want to do an episode on mental health.
I feel like that. And I want to do one about, like, and maybe we can, after the podcast is done, if you know anybody, like, we really want to talk about, like, what you guys go through when you go to war and, like, when you come back and, like, how that affects it and how civilians can help with that and what spouses can do. So if you know anybody, that'd be, like, I feel like a really good podcast just because I
can tell you everything because I did it and then got a divorce. So, like, I can tell you exactly.
Okay, Spencer, you're coming on again. Put it back on your calendar. Okay, well, thank you so much. Yeah. Is there anything else you guys want to add?
Yeah, I mean, just for, like, the... Like, spouses, like, it, so military members need to do a better job of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the best recommendation I can give to spouses, single or dual mil, is, like, just be able to adapt because things change. And I feel like a lot of time spouses that are unknowing of the situation, they take it personal or they plan things and then, like, it kind of sucks. But, like, understand that, like, your service member has... almost no control
over. Yeah.
And that's the hard part for both people because the guy, the person that is in the service is kind of stuck in a hard space between a rock.
Yeah.
Because he can't do anything about it. He has to do what he's told.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but the spouses don't really understand that, like, that's the level of dedication that we need and, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. And you can't just quit. So, yeah, spouses be adaptable. And then military members just, like, tell your family what's
Tell
going
us
on.
What's happening.
Yeah. Communication is the first step. And, like, that'll fix, like, everybody's issues. If people can just talk, they would decrease divorce and, like, fights and all this stuff. And, like, people would be happier. Just talk. Like, just tell them what you have.
Instead of saying you wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
Say.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't.
That's the worst response.
Yeah. Don't take shortcuts. Like, I feel like the spouses, like, most of the time, I mean, I know people do get married for BAH, but most of the people that are probably listening, they care about their
career. So, no, that's what I tell Cade, because I'll be like, well, what'd you do at work? And he's like, I don't think you understand. And I was like, I'd rather you just tell me, because I'd rather just hear it and, like, ask questions or even not know than just be like, okay, well, don't tell me because I won't know, you know? Yeah. So, like, I know all about artillery that I don't know about it, but I know what he did at work today. But, no, I definitely think that's really good advice. And I think it's something that in the military community and probably in the civilian community as well, that you continually need to be told these things. Because I think sometimes it's so easy to, like, forget, oh, we, like, haven't been communicating well. Because life is so busy and life changes so much and you have so much going on that, like, you have to kind of be told. And I think the podcast is really nice for our listeners that, hey, these are really good reminders, whether you're civilian or military, that, like, this will help your relationship. This will help any part of who you're with or where you're going or things like that.
It also helps show that, like, you're not alone. We all go through the same stuff every single day. So that's really important.
Thank you so much for coming on. Yes. I feel like this episode was absolutely amazing, and I know our listeners will, they'll gain a lot of knowledge from what you guys shared and the stories and the information. So thank you so much.
No problem.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for letting us come on.
Okay, so it's been a while since we've done one of our fun questions to round things out, so we're just going to do one for today.
So the question is, do I tell people I work out more often than I do?
I 100% do, because I haven't worked out since before I got pregnant, and I don't tell people, oh, yeah, I work out, like, I go to the gym, like, I don't say that, but I definitely don't. I try to, when I'm in a conversation with someone who's talking about working out, I act like I totally understand and do what they do, right? So I'm like, yeah, no, I totally get it. Like, when you're at the gym every day after work, like, totally. So I wouldn't say that I lie about it, but I don't tell the truth about it. I don't know what's a worse sin.
I don't know. I would say that I don't, because I feel like after, like, since getting to California, and especially, like, now that Cade's preparing for his personal fitness test, our physical fitness test, whichever one it is, the PFT, I'm definitely more about, like, working out. So, like, I try to work out at least 5 to 6 times a week, and even if it is just, like, a 3 to 4 mile walk, I try to do it a little bit more. Like, recently I try to, like, run 2 miles, walk 2 miles, or, like, high fitness, or, like, do weights. Just because I feel like I feel a lot better when I do. I see, like, the days I drag or the days I don't work out type thing. But I definitely am like that when people are talking about workout. I'm like, yeah, definitely. Uh-huh, totally. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I get it. So, all right. Well, I hope you guys like this podcast, because it was truly just wonderful.
Yeah.
And we will talk to you guys next Friday.
Bye.